Let's say you're having people over. You're not sweating the food, you're a great cook, or you have the number of that new, amazing Thai takeout place, and everything you know is going to be delicious. And let's even say that your friends are bringing the drinks, so you don't have to worry about that. So what do you have to worry about? Because you have to worry about something, right? No, you do not. You don't have to worry about anything. Because our friends Rico Galliano and Brendan Francis Newnham are here, and they are masters of the dinner party. Hello, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Francis.
So I love your book. I have to say I take a little exception to the title.
Okay.
Brunch is hell because I'm the father of a daughter that needs to be in bed by like 7:30. So I don't get to go out at dinner anymore. So like, don't take my brunch away from me. That's all I got, man. Like,
no, that's okay. We give you a special dispensation. Actually, it's in a footnote in the first or one or two chapters of the book that new parents get brunch because it is one of the few times that they can go out.
All right, fine, Brendan, Rico. We are here to talk not about brunch, but about dinner parties and how to throw them. In your mind, what matters when you're setting up your home for people to come over?
Well, it's a good question because we think part of the reason people aren't having dinner parties is because they do have anxiety about how their house looks or how their food's going to be. You know, if you have absolutely no time, the only thing you really, really need to do is just to clean your bathroom.
Yeah.
As basic as that sounds, it's the one room in the house where people are going to be alone. And you should probably check your medicine cabinet because your guests are going to. Other than that, then from there working out, you can then, you know, yes, clean up your living room, maybe put some old magazines away. The kitchen can remain a mess because that's often where people are going to be hanging out, but that's fine. That's where a lot of the work is getting done. And the reason we like dinner parties is because they are a reflection of you. So if your home isn't perfectly polished, that's okay. It actually can make people feel a little more relaxed about their homes.
How do you like to sort of get into the mode of like, I want to be present with people?
Yeah, that is absolutely one of the most important things about a dinner party is that it's one of the few places in modern life where you can just be present and share a conversation. You know, we have a list of challenges over time that the dinner party has overcome, and it's managed historically always to overcome these obstacles, but we're not entirely sure that it's managed to overcome the invention of the iPhone, which allows you to stream kitten videos at the dinner table. Some people have this idea that, like, everybody should give up their phones and, you know, put them in a bowl. That sounds vaguely kind of 1970s key party to us, and also like you're treating your friends like children. But I do think that you should police this a little bit. You know, if people are getting out their phones too much, just be like, hey, please. And there are places during a dinner party, there are kind of stopping points where it's perfectly okay to take out the phone, check on your babysitter, you know, see what the scores of the game are. Usually that's between, you know, dinner and dessert when everyone's clearing off the table, or you know, again, if you're going to the bathroom alone, and you can check your phone a little bit there too.
Okay, so we're at the table. We're doing our best to keep our hands off of our devices. Mm-hmm. And everyone wants to be like, you know, a gracious host and host the lively conversation where we touch upon the issues of the day with wit and candor. But sometimes it's awkward and I will like make an excuse to go back to the kitchen. So how do you get people talking?
Well, you know, there's a couple of phases to this. Before you got to the table, you welcomed people, maybe gave them a drink. You've introduced some folks, you've taken their jackets, and that is the time for small talk. And then by the time you've arrived at dinner, we've had some hors d'oeuvres, we maybe had some drinks, we've gotten to know each other. That's when, yes, we advocate for deeper conversation. The number one rule, we think, is shut up.
Weirdly,
it's to get out of the way. It's to listen. People want to be heard, and often in life they're not. And so if someone's in the middle of a story, let them have some space. There's no rush.
It's fascinating. We actually have a quote in the book from what seems like an unlikely source, Alan Alda, who's actually done some research on conversations and the ways that information is transmitted. And it turns out that when people tell stories, their brains literally sync up. When someone is telling you a story, your brain syncs with that person.
Huh.
So a goal of a good dinner party is to get people to tell these stories because you're literally mind melding with the other people at the table.
Oh, I love that.
But in the moment, it's really like go with the flow, make it personal, and put characters, you know, talk about people as opposed to abstract principles. And often people will listen in a little bit if you're telling a story about how a person was affected by something, a policy, as opposed to just the abstract policy.
That's right.
Thanks so much, Brendan Rico.
All right. Goodbye, Francis. Look for our invitation in your email.
Anytime, Francis.
Rico Galliano and Brendan Francis Noonan are the authors of Brunch is Hell, How to Save the World by Throwing a Dinner Party.